Bibles tonight into Jeremiah chapter 10. In verse 23, which was our text, verse 23 and 24 was our text verses for this morning. And Jeremiah, in listening to God talk about the idols that his people were building and the crazy things that they were doing to worship after the form and the fashion of men, and how he was hurt and he was appalled, and he just couldn't conceive how they could do that when they had the living God to call upon. And Jeremiah's only response and his only answer to God at the end of chapter 10 is, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." He says, "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." I'm glad we got a merciful and a long-suffering God, amen, that doesn't give us what judgment demands and what judgment requires. But I'm glad that as Jeremiah poured his heart out, he confessed the frailty of man. I told folks this morning, we had heard Brother Mark McKay, and I will say this for the advantage of folks that weren't here this morning, preach a message down at Faith Baptist Church 2 years or 3 years ago, here in the last little while. But he preached a message preaching to young people, and he was preaching out of Luke chapter 23. The Bible says, Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Brother Mark preached a message there that I've never forgot. You don't know what you're doing. Amen. You don't know what you're doing. We think we got it all figured out. We think we're so smart, but in reality, you don't know what you're doing. Amen. Jeremiah says that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Man thinks he's got it all figured out. Man figures he can plot his life out and walk according to the course of his life and his design, and everything's going to be all right. But Jeremiah said it's not. In this morning's message, and the first part of this message, actually, we have seen how Samson's strength was unable to secure him and keep him from sin. We've seen how Solomon's wisdom, the wisest man who'd ever lived, in himself was not able to keep him from sinning. For the Bible says that in his old age, his many wives caused him to sin. He sinned to the point that he worshipped the other gods. He sinned to the point to where he built altars and built places of worship for the other gods. This was a man that was so smart that he had to have known better. How could he have not known better? He was the wisest man that ever lived. And then we looked at Nebuchadnezzar, the man who in his time and in his day was the most powerful kingdom, the most powerful king on the face of the earth. And his power and his might were given him because God was using him for his purpose. But when he dreamed a dream and he couldn't find the answer, the man of God revealed unto him the truth of what God was showing him. Just like the man of God stands today and he reveals unto you the truth of what God wants you to know, if he's doing his job. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to wow you with my abilities. I'm here to tell you the truth of the Word of God. Amen. But Daniel gave this warning. He said, "Refrain from your sin and seek after righteousness. Refrain from your iniquities and seek God, and you won't have to go through all these problems, through all these things that I told you." But Nebuchadnezzar got all built up and puffed up in himself and said, "Look at all this that I have done. Is there anybody mightier than I? Is there anybody that can do more than I? Is there anybody who deserves to be acknowledged and worshipped and looked at more than me? And the Bible says immediately, the condemnation of God's word fell upon him. And for 7 years, he lived like an animal. For 7 years, he had to eat grass and lived just like any beast of the field. But it brought him to the realization of who God really was. We might think our position and our title and our power gives us some kind of an out or some ability that everyone else don't have. But you'll never be strong enough. You'll never be smart enough. You'll never be powerful enough to be smarter, more powerful, or stronger than God. And you'll never understand what God would have you to do until you submit yourself and surrender yourself unto the living God. Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You see, the problem with man is when man tries to begin to do things his way, he finds himself in trouble. God has a remedy. God has a prescription for everything in our life. But when we try to circumvent God's way and we try to do it our way, we do nothing but create problems. Can I get a witness? See, David, just like these other men that we looked at this morning, thought that his cunning and his abilities would be enough to take him where he wanted to go. David was a man who had to, for several years, live on the lamb and live on the run. And it took his cunning. It took his desire to be obedient unto God and to listen to God's direction and God's instruction and to find strength in God to get him through all this time when Saul was chasing him and Saul was seeking to destroy him. Saul wanted to take his life because Saul feared him. Why? Because the power of God was on him. Because he was a man after God's own heart. But David, just like any other man, looked upon something that he shouldn't looked upon. Amen? Why did that happen? I preached a message about this one time. He was someplace where he shouldn't have been. Amen? Where he was wasn't a place that men belonged. That was a place that was relegated to the women and the small children. And it was relegated to them for that purpose, for privacy. But David was on the rooftop of his house, and he was looking. And he seen on the rooftop of another house a woman minding her own business, adoring her own business in a place that was relegated for the women and the children to be to do these things. And you know the story. If you don't know the story, to make a long story short, David stole another man's wife. He got her pregnant. And then he thought he was smart enough. He thought he was cunning enough to cover up the sin. He called Uriah the Hittite and made specific request for Uriah to come back, which was the woman's husband. And Uriah come back, and David tried everything that was within him to get him to go and spend some time with his wife so that they could say that the child was theirs. But Uriah, being an honorable man, didn't want to do anything that his brethren who were at war, that's honor, that's integrity. He was a man of great integrity, and he couldn't be manipulated. So when David found out he couldn't manipulate Uriah to do what he wanted to have done, he sent word to Joab, his general, and he manipulated his general to put Joab in the hottest part of the battle and then to withdraw from him to make certain that Uriah was killed. See, David had this all figured out. How many times have you went through things in life and you thought that you had it all figured out? You thought you were slick enough. You thought you were cool enough. You thought you were down with it enough that you had it figured out and you was going to get through this thing and nobody would even know it and nobody would even be aware of it. But let me tell you something. There's always someone that knows what's going on. Amen. Amen. His name is Jesus. You might fool everybody else. You might be cunning enough to fool the preacher. You might be cunning enough to fool the church members in your church. You might be cunning enough to fool your spouse, to fool your mom and to fool your dad. But you'll never fool Jesus. Amen. And when we start trying to do things, you know, there is a remedy for sin. And there's a place to take our sin. Amen. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible, folks. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But instead of confessing our sins, we try to hide our sins. Amen. Instead of confessing our sins and dealing with our sins and acknowledging our sin, we think that we're smart enough to get through it on our own. But we're not. Because just when David thought he had it all taken care of, he got Bathsheba pregnant. He couldn't get her husband to spend the time with her that they could say that the child was Uriah's. So he had Uriah killed. The child was born. And guess who showed up at David's door? The messenger of the Lord. Guess who shows up at your door when you're trying to hide your sin? When you're trying to cover it up? When you're trying to keep everybody from knowing it? Don't the Holy Spirit show up and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock"? Yes. Amen. Ain't that what Jesus said? He's talking to the church there. We always want to count that to the lost people, the sinners. That's not who Jesus is talking to. In Revelation chapter 3, he's talking to the church. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Amen. Here the man of God showed up. God sent word. God let him know. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." He come and he told David the story about the man that had the one little ewe lamb and how the rich man took the lamb and slayed the lamb and fed some folks with it when he had plenty of his own. But he took this lamb from the family that was like a family member. He was a pet. Amen. And killed him. And David said, that man, he needs to pay for his sin. He needs to die. He needs to suffer for what he calls to happen in other people's lives. And Nathan says, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." How did Nathan know this? Because God told him so. How was Nathan able to? David had covered this up so craftily, so completely. How could anyone know had it not been the Lord? And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." He says, "Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord." I'm going to jump down into verse 12. He says, "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." Folks, we think we got it all figured out. We think we can direct our own self. We think we're cunning enough to get through all these pitfalls in life. We think we're cunning enough to get everybody fooled, and everybody's going to know that everything's all right with me, and they're going to think I'm the greatest Christian, I'm the greatest individual, I'm the greatest person in the world, when in fact, in reality, your life is a shambles, and you're lost in your sin and trespasses. Or child of God, you're so far out of the will of God that God can't do nothing with you, but you got everybody fooled thinking you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Amen. You will not fool God for one instant. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter in. They might fool the pastors. They might fool the deacons. They might fool the Sunday school teachers. They might fool mom and dad. They might fool a husband and a wife, but you'll never fool God. And I don't care how good you can pull it off. A hypocrite is still a hypocrite. No matter what face you want to put upon it. Amen. There's a fellow by the name of Jonah that thought he had it all figured out. Jeremiah said, it's not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. And God told Jonah, he said, go down to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. But Jonah said, I got another plan. I got another plan. Amen. How many times have you had another plan? Amen. God had a plan for your life, but you had another plan. God had a direction for your life, but you had another direction. Amen. God had a purpose for where he was sending you and why he was sending you, but that didn't suit you. You decided to go your own way, and you decided to follow your own plan, and then you find yourself in the midst of a turmoil, and not only have you destroyed your life, and not only are you bringing yourself down, but you're bringing down all those around you with you. Why? Because you did it your way. Ain't that what, Frank Sinatra, he did it his way. From what I know about Frank Sinatra, he did it his way, but he split hell wide open. Amen. You can do it your way, but you'll never prosper in your way. You can do it your way, and you'll destroy people along the way. Amen. You'll not have a testimony because you're doing it your way. You're not doing it God's way. You'll not have any power because you're doing it your way. You're not doing it God's way. You'll never be able to accomplish anything that's meaningful. Your ministry, your life will be such as it just destroys the lives around you, the lives of people that you touch and you come into contact with. Amen. As soon as God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah went and bought a ticket in the complete opposite direction from what God told him to go. I don't know if he thought he could run fast enough. You won't outrun God. I don't know if he thought he could hide deep enough. You'll never hide from God. Amen. I don't know what he thought when he tried to go opposite of what God wanted him to do. But Jonah done it his way. Amen. Lord, it's not in man to direct his steps. The safest place you can be. You know why he didn't want to go to Nineveh? He feared it. Nineveh was a fearsome city. It was one of the city of the Assyrians, and they were known for their cruelty. I mean, these were people that just for the sheer joy of being cruel, enjoyed inflicting pain and punishment on their enemies and on their captives and on folks. We talk about the Romans and the gladiators and all this, but I think that the Assyrians, from what I've read, and the folks in Nineveh even surpassed the cruelty of the Romans. The Romans done it for sport. The Romans done it for entertainment. You know, there's one thing about somebody just being ornery and doing the things because they're ornery. But there's another thing, people that do things just because they're mean. You know? And that's where the Ninevites were. And Jonah didn't want to go there. But you know, the safest place for him to be was right where God wanted him to be. Amen? We read the story. It's a true account. A missionary family that I forget where they all were. They were on a foreign field somewhere, and they began to fear for their children's lives, and they didn't want to trust God. And they packed their kids up, and they brought them home. And when they come off the field, they told everybody that they feared where they were. They feared for their children's lives, amen. And God didn't tell them to come home. They just come home on their own. And then they wound up, the man got a pastorate, I think it was, in California. And as he was pastoring this church in California, one of these kids that they were so worried about being on a foreign mission field where God was protecting them, where they was in the center of God's will, where they were in the power of God's hand, got bit by a rattlesnake and died. Right here in the good old U.S. of A. Folks, the safest place you'll ever be is where God directs you to be. Amen. Is where God sends you to be. Where God wants you to be. See, Jonah thought he could do it his own way. The best way to do things is God's way. The best time to do things is in God's time. Amen? The best place to do things is where God wants you to do them. Amen? You know, some folks get mad at me sometimes. You know, if this isn't where God wants you to be, then this isn't where you need to be. But if this is where God wants you to be, there ain't no sense in going anywhere else. Amen? Because you'll never be profitable, you'll never be satisfied, you'll never be usable, and God is never going to use you if you're not where He wants you to be because you're disobedient in the first place. Amen? Jonah found that out the hard way. It says in Jonah chapter 1, verses 7 to 10, and they said every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah thought, doing it his way, was going to get him somewhere. You know where Jonah's way got him? Right at the door of destruction. He almost, and he come within a frog's hair. I don't know how big that is, an old saying, fine as a frog's hair. But he come this close. Well, I'll tell you one that's biblical. The skin of your teeth. Amen. How thick is the skin on your teeth? That's pretty thin, isn't it? He come that close to destroying himself and all those that were around him. And they knew it. And they realized it. But Jonah thought he was going to do it his way. And God showed him that it's going to be my way. Amen. Amen. If you want to come to Jesus, you're going to do it his way. If you're going to serve Jesus, you're going to do it his way. If you're going to be profitable to Jesus, you're going to do it his way. No other way. His way. It's the only way. And it don't matter who you are. There was a man in the New Testament that stood by and held the cloaks of those who stoned that dear man of God. Who knows what his name was? Saul of Tarsus. Saul had a zeal, but it wasn't of the Lord. Saul had a zeal for the Lord, but it wasn't of the Lord. You understand that? There's a lot of people. Brother L sung in a gospel quartet for years. Amen. And he was lost could be, and on his way going to hell. Have you ever heard him give his testimony? Brother L had a zeal for the Lord, but he wasn't of the Lord. He wasn't sent by the Lord. The Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was Saul of Tarsus. And Paul gives his own record of his thought before his conversion, of how he thought his pedigree was so important. But his pedigree meant absolutely nothing to the living God. You know, I don't care what family you're raised in. I don't care what economic status you're raised in. I don't care what racial situation you've been born in. It doesn't matter to God. Amen. Because God can use nothing and make something great out of it. And God can take something great and make it nothing. Some folks think, well, my daddy, he is the pastor. My daddy's the preacher. My grandpappy was the preacher. And all my family's preacher. That makes me something. That don't make you anything. Just another low-down, stinking, dirty, rotten sinner that needs to be saved. God's not going to call you to preach because your daddy's a preacher, because you're a preacher solely because of that. God's going to call you to preach if he wants you and can use you and has a purpose for you. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, thought that his pedigree might give him. Look at what he said in Philippians chapter 3. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, in other words, in my pedigree, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I got a better pedigree than all these other guys have. I got a better pedigree than somebody else. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul said, I could brag and I could tell everybody about who I was. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. As concerning the law, I was blameless, and that was a lie. Amen. Because no man save Christ Jesus was blameless before the law. He said, I could boast on all these things. But then one day I met Jesus. I could do all these things in the name of Paul of Tarsus, but one day I met Jesus. I was lifted up. I was puffed up. I thought I was something and I thought I was somebody. But then I met Jesus, and I found out that I was nothing. And I found out that without him, I would never be anything. Amen. But he told me how he loved me. He told me how he died for me. He told me how he would save me. And he told me how he would make something of me. Man, Sunday school class was exciting this morning. Amen. I was chided after Sunday school class because of preaching instead of teaching. But man, when you get down there and you're studying in 1 John in chapter 2, and John's talking about all these antichrists that's in the world and all these that are opposing Jesus and all these that are standing against Jesus, and we have an unction of the Spirit, and we have to stand, and we can stand because we have this unction of the Spirit. And right in the middle of this letter, he says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Amen. Amen. And we got to doing some word studies and found out that the Greek word that's used for son there is tikanon, or tikanon, rather. And it's not the other word that's used. See, the other word, the other Greek, I can't remember what it is right now. I can go look and I got to write my Bible. But the other word used in Greek for a son means an heir, means a family member that has an inheritance. You're an heir. But praise God, the word that was used right there, that we should be called the sons of God, tikanon, means that we have that right by birth. No matter, he said, behold. Amen. We have a birthright now. We have an inheritance right now. We're not just adopted. Paul told the Galatians that we have the spirit of adoption and we've been adopted. But John says we haven't just been adopted, but praise God, we've been born. We've been birthed. We've been brought into the family of God through the blood of Jesus. And it don't matter who you was before. It don't matter what you was before. It don't matter what you thought about yourself before. Apart from Jesus, you're nothing. Amen. Amen. And all your righteousness is as filthy rags. Saul was going about doing things his way. But Jeremiah said, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Saul thought because of his pedigree he was doing God a great honor, when in truth he was doing God a disservice. Because he was persecuting the church of the living God. He was doing contrary to what God had desired. He wasn't where he needed to be. He wasn't doing what he needed to do. He was doing what satisfied Paul, what satisfied Saul of Tarsus, what brought peace to Saul's life. Friend, if we want our hearts and our lives to be in the center of God's will, if we want to have communion and fellowship with him, Jesus said, can two walk together? Well, Proverbs says it, but Jesus is the author of the word. He says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amen? We want to direct our own lives. We want to direct our own paths. We want to go our own way. But so many times we find ourselves separating and drawing farther and farther away from God. Instead of being where God wants us to be, instead of coming closer, we're getting farther away. So we prepare to take our communion tonight. I want you to think on, where are you at? What direction have you taken? What path have you found yourself on? The Bible said, but let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. We're about to partake of communion. And communion means we have all things in common. Communion means we're in fellowship with one another. Communion means our hearts are knit together with God's and with Jesus Christ where they need to be. He said, but let a man examine himself. Have you taken your own paths? Have you went your own way? Are you trying to do things in your own strength, your own wisdom, in your own power? Are you dealing with sin, trying to use your cunning abilities to hide and cover your sin when nothing but the blood of Jesus can do that? Amen. Are you trying to do it your own way? It'll never work your way. It's only going to work God's way. And if you think you're somebody, tonight you need to become a nobody. And then Jesus can use you. Jesus can do something in you. So we stand to our feet tonight.